We have two readings tonight. The first is from Genesis and the second from Galatians. Firstly, Genesis chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You're responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from, and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roai. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. And now we'll go to Galatians. Chapter 4, and it's verses 21 to 31, page 1171. Hagar and Sarah. "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, 'Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband.' Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? 'Get rid of the slave woman and her son, For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman.
Tracing your ancestry, it's all the rage these days, isn't it? You can do it online, but be careful before you do, because it starts off with charging you a fiver, and that sort of tells you who your granddad was or something. And then after that, you have to pay a lot more. Television programs like Who Do You Think You Are? Very popular. So tracing our ancestry is something that some people like to do. I'm not going to bother myself. My mother came from Wales and her maiden name was Davis. So I think I'd probably be fighting a losing battle. And I might find that I was related to Jeff. Tracing your ancestry was even more important for Jews, who were the descendants of Abraham, who was the father of Israel. And God had promised to bless Abraham and his descendants, and through them to bless all the nations of the world. So, many Jews thought the way to God's blessing was to be able to trace your ancestry back to Abraham. That's why there's so many long, boring genealogies in the Old Testament. Other people's genealogies are boring, aren't they? And it's true of the genealogies in the Old Testament as well. But they weren't boring if you were a Jew who wanted to trace your ancestry back to Abraham. They were very important. And it wasn't enough to be able to trace your ancestry back to Abraham. You had to be able to trace your ancestry back to Abraham through Isaac, because Isaac was the promised son, promised to Abraham and Sarah. Abraham had another son by a slave girl called Hagar, and this son was called Ishmael. But his line wasn't the chosen line. In fact, the line of Ishmael became enemies. The descendants of Ishmael became enemies of the descendants of Isaac. And the descendants of Isaac, Jews, despised the descendants of Ishmael. Now, this tendency to rely on your racial descent is dealt with by both John the Baptist and by Jesus and by Paul, actually. Let's look at what John the Baptist said about it. You can find it in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Page 967 in the Church Bible. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. When John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." So John the Baptist says to the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees who could trace their descent back to Abraham, he says, don't rely on that. You need to repent. You need to bring forth the fruit of repentance so that everybody can see that your repentance is real. Do not rely on God's blessing just because you are able to trace your ancestry back to Abraham. God can create children for Abraham out of these stones, says John the Baptist, pointing to the stones there in the Judean desert near the River Jordan. Jesus also dealt with it as well. And you'll find the way Jesus dealt with it in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, page 1074. 1074 in the Church Bible. It might be helpful to turn to page 1074, John chapter 8. Verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Two very harsh passages, aren't they? You vipers, you brood of vipers, and you are of your father the devil, says Jesus to these descendants of Abraham. Very harsh. But you have to be, don't you? I mean, it's no use pussyfooting around with people who are proud of their ancestry, proud of their racial origins, and who imagine that their racial origins give them some spiritual advantage with God. If that's what people think, that needs to be knocked on the head very, very, very clearly and bluntly. And that's why these two passages dealing with that seem to us to be so harsh. This is a very deep-seated and deceptive idea. And therefore the blunt comments from both John the Baptist and Jesus. And Paul is pretty clear in his letters as well. And remember who Paul was before he became a Christian. Jeff has been looking at this a couple of Sunday mornings recently. Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. You couldn't be any more Jewish than I was, says the Apostle Paul. You can't be any more Jewish than I am, says the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. But in his letters, in his other letters, and in Philippians, he writes, who are the real children of Abraham? Who are the real children of Abraham? Who is the real Israel? Being racially descended from Abraham doesn't make you a real Jew, says Paul in his letter. Just turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Romans 2, 28. That's on page 1130. 1130. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So just because you're related to Abraham gives you no spiritual advantage whatsoever, says Paul. It doesn't even make you a true Jew, he said. It doesn't make you a true Jew. True Jews are true Jews spiritually. And what if you actually even bear the outward mark of descent from Abraham? Abraham was told to circumcise his children on the eighth day. And that was the mark of their descent from Abraham. What if you bear that mark? Well, Philippians chapter 3 again, just you may want to turn, no, I'll just read it to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. It is we, says Paul, who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. Jesus is saying there that believers in the Lord Jesus are the real circumcision, the true circumcision. So who are the true children of Abraham? Well, Paul says, believers in Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Israel, are the true children of Abraham. Remember his arguments in this letter, Galatians, and also his argument in Romans chapter 4. I'll just go through it again very, very quickly. Abraham, the first Jew, the father of Israel, was justified by faith. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed a promise about Jesus. God was going to bless the world through his seed, Jesus. And Abraham believed that promise about Jesus. So by believing a promise about Jesus, the first Jew was put right with God. And that happened 14 years before he was circumcised. And it happened 400 years before the law of Moses was given. So the first Jew was justified when he was a Gentile. And his real children are those who share his faith in the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just go back to Galatians chapter 3. We're back in Galatians now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All those promises to Israel in the Old Testament, they're yours, says Paul, to his Gentile readers, because most of these people were Gentile. And Paul says to his Gentile readers, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of Abraham. And just turn back to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 11, page 1131, 1131. Yes, turn to this one. It'll help you if you turn to this one. Well, we want to get this right. I do want to get this into people's heads, because a lot of people don't understand it. And it's very important to understand it. 1131. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. He, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So it's pretty clear, isn't it? You can't argue with that, can you? Who are the true Jews? Who are the true Israel? Who are the children of Abraham? Circumcised people who are not only circumcised, but who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Uncircumcised Gentiles who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that makes you into a son or a child of Abraham. So, Abraham was blessed and saved by faith in God's grace, by believing in a promised Messiah, who we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what happened when Abraham turned from that and tried to bring about God's blessing himself by his own achievements? The result was not Isaac, but Ishmael. And a whole host of terrible complications. In other words, please listen to this. I've spent 2 days on this. I gave up my Saturday on this. In other words, what happened when Abraham did what these false teachers were telling the Galatians to do? To try and bring about God's blessing by their own achievements, rather than receive God's blessing as a gift by faith. What happened when Abraham did that? And therefore, what can you expect to happen if you Christians at Galatia do that? Well, the results of what Abraham did, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, was an offspring who was a slave, not a son. The result of his action was slavery, not sonship. And the son was Ishmael, who the Jews despised. So what is Paul hinting at here? He is saying to the Judaizers at Galatia, you may be racially descended from Abraham, you may be sons of Abraham racially, but watch out that you don't turn out to be Ishmael rather than Isaac. Okay? We're getting there. Okay, so to understand this difficult passage, we need to look at this Old Testament story about Abraham and his two sons. So it's Genesis chapter 16 now, the story that Jean read first in Genesis chapter 16. This is the story of Abraham and his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. And this is a story about Abraham at his worst. Abraham was a man of faith, and he was justified by faith. We've seen that. But his faith sometimes faltered. That's encouraging, isn't it? Do you know one of the most encouraging verses in the whole of the Bible? I love it. It's in Mark chapter 9, where a man brings his demon-possessed son to Jesus and says, look, nobody else can do anything for him. Your disciples can't do anything for him. Can you do it? And Jesus said, can I do it? Everything is possible for him who believes. And the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Isn't that lovely? Do you ever feel like that? I believe. I think I do believe, but help my unbelief. My belief could be much stronger than it is. And isn't it great that Jesus didn't say, sorry, go away until you've got 100% faith. He healed his son. And Abraham, he was a man of faith, but his faith often falter. And Abraham reminds us that the only real hero in the Bible is God. The only real hero is God. You remember that God promised Abraham descendants like the sand on the seashore and like the stars in the sky. He promised that Abraham would become a great nation, and he would bless that nation, God would bless that nation, and that nation would then be a blessing to all the nations of the world. And Abraham believed that. But the snag was that 10 years on, long time to be waiting, 10 years. 10 years on, when they were well past the normal age for childbearing, Sarah had still been unable to produce any children. And as the years passed by, it all seemed very, very unlikely. Would God actually keep his word? This was a massive test of faith. And it's not that Abraham stopped believing God's promise. I don't think he did. He just decided that God needed his help. And he decided to do what any other childless couple in that culture would have done to sort this problem out. We know that now because of whole libraries of clay tablets that have been discovered in the Near East. Whole libraries of clay tablets with writing on, which has all been deciphered. And we now know that what Abraham and Sarah did on this occasion in Genesis chapter 16 was the done thing. It was the way you got round the terrible stigma of childlessness in that culture. It was the accepted normal practice. Childlessness was unthinkable. So if your wife couldn't have a child, you got a child by proxy through somebody else. A slave girl would bear your child, who would then be adopted as your legal heir, unless your wife did eventually bear a son, in which case that son would then take precedence. It was a simple, obvious way of ensuring that you had an heir. It's the obvious thing to do. Everybody did it in that culture. So Abraham decided to do it. He helped. He thought, well, obviously God didn't know about Sarah. Sarah's a problem here. So God's got a problem here as well. Maybe I can help God out. And that's the way he decided to do it. But it was wrong. Sex before marriage is always wrong. For anybody. Anywhere. Always wrong. Sex outside of marriage is always wrong. I should have said outside, not before. And before, of course, as well. Sex outside of marriage is always wrong. It was especially wrong for Abraham. Because God had promised, God had covenanted that Abraham and Sarah would have a son. And he was the promised one. And this promised blessing would come through him. Now, Abraham probably genuinely thought that he'd helped God out of a difficult situation. He'd done the obvious, sensible, successful thing. But it was actually an act of impatient unbelief. It was a failure in Abraham's faith. He had God's grace, he had God's power, he had God's promise, but it wasn't enough. God needed Abraham's efforts and attainments as well. So instead of waiting patiently for God's blessing, Abraham took matters into his own hands, and instead of trusting God to give him the son, he got the son himself. He got himself what God had promised to give him as a gift. Have you got that? He got himself. He decided to get himself what God had promised to give him as a gift. So Sarah gave Abraham her maid, Hagar. And the result was this son, Ishmael. And so to all outward appearances, it looked as if Abraham had done it. He'd cracked it. He'd managed in his own strength to produce something that seemed very like the real thing. He'd managed to produce an appearance of blessing. It was only as time went on that the whole thing turned out to be a complete disaster. What had seemed so obvious and simple actually complicated everything. It always does. It always does. When we go against the will of God, try and make things easier for ourselves by going against God's will. Might seem to work for a while, but it always ends in more and more complication. Ruins everything. Sarah was jealous of Hagar. Hagar despised Sarah once she was pregnant. So there were the usual problems that you associate in the Old Testament with polygamy. Strife and contention between two women. I'm glad I wasn't Abraham. Imagine Abraham in this household. Two ladies at each other's throats all the time. Must have been awful. So in the end, the pregnant Hagar had to run away. Sarah was treating her so badly, making life so difficult for her. And God incidentally sent her back to Abraham. Abraham wasn't going to dodge the results of his disobedience that easily. So God sent Hagar back. And then after the son was born, if we'd read on into Genesis, after the son was born, Sarah actually did have her own son, as God had promised, Isaac. And now there was strife and contention between the two sons. And it became impossible for the two sons to live together under the same roof. There could be no compromise between them. One was the heir and the other wasn't. It was as simple as that. And so in the end, Hagar and her son Ishmael had to be sent away. There could be no compromise between the two. So Abraham had two sons. One was the result of human works, human initiative. The other was God's gift, the result of God's gracious promise, Isaac. And the two couldn't live together. And Ishmael and Hagar had to leave. Ishmael couldn't share the inheritance. And even after this, there was ongoing tension between the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac. And some people tell us, I don't know whether it's true or not, I'm not qualified to say, but some people tell us that that tension is still with us even to this day, with the tensions between the Arabs and the Jews. That might be right, it may well be right. If only Abraham had trusted God. It seemed such a good idea at the time. If only Abraham had waited. If only Abraham had trusted God. Can you see how this story can apply to all kinds of things? Do you know people who, Christians, desperate to get married? Singleness? Well, it's like childness, isn't it? Childlessness in the Old Testament. Absolutely out of the question. Got to marry somebody. So instead of patiently waiting for a Christian to come along, a Christian partner, or even saying to God, if the Christian doesn't come along, okay, for your sake I'll remain single. Marriage isn't the be-all and end-all of everything after all. Still live for you. But rather than do that, no. They make a ridiculous choice. Everybody knows it's ridiculous. Everybody knows it's going to ruin their spiritual life. And so it goes on. You get your husband, you get your wife. But life actually becomes far more complicated, far more miserable afterwards than it was before. You get a church and, well, numbers aren't that good. We need to build the numbers up. We need to build the congregation up. So let's jazz things up a bit. Let's make the sermons shorter. Let us not have sermons on Sunday evenings on Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 31. I mean, if you want to bring people in, you do not do that, do you? Let's have more music. Great. Music's great, by the way. We like music. Nothing wrong with music. Let's compromise on the gospel a bit. Let's leave the heavy stuff out. Let's make it easier for people. Oh, you get your congregation. You get your bigger congregation. You might build up your membership. But you're building up terrible tensions and problems for yourself in the future, actually. Much better to have a smaller congregation and wait for God to work through His Word, in His way, as He's promised to do when His Word is preached. I can think of lots of applications of this story. But none of them are the actual application that the Apostle Paul makes in Galatians chapter 4. Abraham had two sons, a legitimate one who was a gift of God, promised by God and received by faith. And Paul says he was born into freedom. The other, Ishmael, was an illegitimate son, the result of Abraham's own attempts to bring about God's blessing. And he was born into slavery. One was the result of faith, the other was the result of works. One was born into freedom, he was the heir, the other was born into slavery. And, says Paul, the one persecuted the other. Ishmael, the son born into slavery, who would never share in the inheritance, who was the result of Abraham's own works and own achievements, without grace, without God, without faith, He persecuted the child of promise, the heir, Isaac. And so today, argues Paul, there are two kinds of Abraham's offspring. Abraham has two kinds of offspring. Both of them may trace their ancestry back to Abraham. One is represented by Hagar, by Ishmael, by Sinai, which was in Arabia, says Paul, which was Ishmael country. So one's represented by Hagar, Ishmael, Sinai, and the earthly city of Jerusalem. The other is represented by Sarah, Isaac, and the true heavenly Jerusalem, which is the church of Jesus Christ. Both trace their origins back to Abraham. But only one, the church of Jesus Christ, shares Abraham's faith and will inherit the blessing. And only one is born into freedom. The other, in spite of its boasts and its pride in being racially descended from Abraham, shares Abraham's unbelief, shares his attempt to bring about the blessing by his own achievements, and is born into slavery. So, Paul sees this Old Testament story as a picture of what is going on in his day between Jerusalem and the Church of Jesus Christ. Just as Isaac was persecuted by Ishmael, so the heavenly Jerusalem, the Church of Jesus Christ, is persecuted by the earthly Jerusalem. And if you read the New Testament, that is exactly the situation in the New Testament. Much of the persecution of the early church was instigated by Jewish people. Read the book of Acts. Read about the early church in Jerusalem, the apostles imprisoned, forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. Then the martyrdom of Stephen. Then the Christian church scattered from Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, into Cyprus, Syria, and even further afield, the Apostle Paul being the main instigator of this persecution. Incredible. And then even in cities like Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth, where there was persecution from Gentiles, those Gentiles were very often stirred up by the Jews. Paul would always begin at the synagogue. The Jews would turn zealous, and they would stir up a riot, and Paul would have to leave town. Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, constantly persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And Paul sees this foreshadowed, if you like, in this story in Genesis chapter 16 of Abraham and his two sons. One, the son of promise, the gift of God, received by faith, the other, his own attainments, the law, his own works. So the Jews loved to trace their ancestry back to Abraham through Isaac, and they tended to despise Ishmael and the descendants of Ishmael. But in this difficult headache of a passage, Paul turns all this completely upside down. And he's saying, okay, maybe you are Abraham's physical descendants. But actually, you're showing by the way you're responding to the gospel that you have more of an affinity with Ishmael than with Isaac, the son of promise, who was born into freedom. So trusting God's grace and believing his promise, the promise about Jesus, is the way to freedom, says the Apostle Paul. And we'll look at that freedom next time. Father, we thank you that through your Son, the Lamb of God, who we were thinking about this morning, our Saviour, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have given us the gift of eternal life. You give us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is receive. All we have to do is be as little children on Christmas morning and just receive gift after gift after gift. Blessing after blessing after blessing in and through Jesus Christ from the loving and gracious hand of God. Help us not to think that we've got to add our own little bit just to make it absolutely certain. Lord, that's the worst thing we could possibly do. What an insult. What an insult to you to think that we can add to the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ by adding something of our own ridiculous righteousness or wisdom to it. Deliver us from that, we pray. And thank you for this story from the Old Testament, which shows us what happens when a man of faith tries to do that, tries to obtain the blessing that God has promised by his own initiative, by his own achievement. Help us to lay all that aside and to rest entirely in the finished work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you that what he did on the cross is sufficient for every sin that we have ever committed. And help us to receive that salvation by faith alone, and then go out and live for him as sons and not as slaves. We ask this in Jesus' name, asking your parting blessing as we go. In Jesus' name, Amen.